Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Welcome back to the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool. And we're going to look ahead to the Denver Broncos coming up on Sunday. There's lots of great matchups all across the board. I mean, obviously, I think the marquee matchups seem to be on the Cowboys offense versus the Denver's defense. Because, I mean, you know, look, I mean, those are clearly the two best units for each one of these teams. But I think that also that if you look at these teams, you know, in week one, I would say that respectively, the Denver offense and the Cowboys defense surprised some people and really kind of showed things that I think people weren't expecting. So, you know, it's really going to be kind of an interesting litmus test to see where those two units are when they face each other. So both sides of the ball are going to be interesting for different reasons. So we're going to do our normal thing. You know, we'll take a look at some interesting matchups on both sides of the ball, and we'll go level by level. We'll do the trenches, and then the second level defenders versus backs versus tight ends, and then third level defenders versus QBs and wide receivers. It should be good. We'll throw in little bits here and there about the game overall, but I think this is a good medium for kind of getting through some of the key points of what we're thinking headed into the game. So let's get started. All right, let's start where it's important, and that's the trenches. You know, look, I think that the Lael Collins-Von Miller matchup is intriguing to me because it is kind of a microcosm for how I think these teams want to attack each other. I think that, you know, clearly the Broncos are going to try to make Dak uncomfortable throwing the ball. And Von Miller is going to be a huge part of that. They're going to want to attack Lael. I don't know why they would waste snaps on Von Miller on Tyron Smith, because I think that they could just put him over by Lael, and he's just going to have a higher percentage of success. Now, how much success will he have on Lael in passing games? It's difficult to say. I really do think that as far as what gives LC problems at times, is exactly what Von Miller is going to want to do, is that burst, that speed around the edge. I mean, he's going to want to try to do this whole thing with no hands, you know, just kind of dip around LC and see if he can get into the quarterback before Lael's is even turned around to yell, look out. I think that ultimately what the Cowboys are going to try and do is, you know, really establish the run heavily and establish it right on top of Von Miller's head. I think that, you know, if they run on the perimeter and they attack Von Miller in the run game, you know, you tenderize him, you rough him up a little bit. That, you know, first of all, that alone might help, you know, add an extra tenth of a second or something to his snap count, to his snap reaction, to his burst. You know, and it just gives him something to think about, you know, when he's coming off the ball like that. So I tend to think that the Cowboys are going to try and run heavily at these guys on the perimeter, really kind of beat him up that way. And then once they really start working on him like that, they'll turn around and, you know, use play action pass to kind of keep their heads whipped around a little bit. I think the Cowboys will definitely drop back and do some traditional passing, and they'll do some shotgun stuff, and, you know, they'll trust Lael to do some things on his own, and I'm sure they'll help him out in the passing game with a tight end or with a back or however. but I just think that, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, I think you want to beat up on them. You want Von Miller to be worked by Lael Collins. So that means we're going to get working in the run game early, efficient. I mean, frankly, I think that the way to attack this defense fits with what you want to do anyways, in a way that maybe it didn't with New York. And I guess the way that I would explain that is that with New York, and I think ultimately what they found out what worked is that they spread them out early, but ran a whole bunch of plays still while spreading them out in order to be efficient and can get first downs, which is what they needed from the, you know, 11 personnel. But while getting those first downs, you know, also running a ton of plays, also making sure that they're, you know, being methodical. And I think with with the Broncos, they don't need to do that necessarily. I think that they can line up in 12 and 13s and 21s and 22 personnels, heavier personnels, and run on these guys and have success that way, and then finish the game that way too. So it'll be interesting to see. I do think that the Cowboys, running is going to be a huge part of, and success in running the ball is going to be a huge part in the ability, especially in this matchup, but in other ones as well. Along those lines, on the other side of the ball, I think the Malik Watson and DeMarcus Lawrence matchup is going to be an interesting one. for a couple of different reasons. First of all, on just a DeMarcus Lawrence level, we haven't seen him perform with a ton of consistency. We have seen him flash a lot. I mean, there's definitely been all kinds of different points in his career where he's made a play or made two plays or done a couple of things here or there, but what we have yet to see is this consistent dominant pass rusher who is causing pressure. And look, let's be clear. A lot of that is circumstance. A lot of that has nothing to do. I mean, it does have to do with him, but it's not because he didn't develop well or he's not trying hard or he's not, skilled enough. And a lot of it had to do with injuries and his inavailability and him playing at less than 100%, gutting it out when maybe, we don't really know how effective. We don't know what percentage of health he's at, and we're just expecting 100% healthy DeMarcus Lawrence, and he obviously isn't always able to, show us that. But I think now what we're seeing is, that I don't know what happened with that back surgery, not this last one, but the one before that. I don't know if it was a bad surgery or what, but it was, first of all, that was the only time I've ever heard Stephen Jones give, that's the first time I've ever heard anyone say that someone's surgery may not have gone the way that exactly that they thought, as far as the NFL goes. And then I just think that, clearly after that, he didn't look healthy. He didn't get back to full health, or he wasn't completely, the same bursty athletic guy that we had seen before. And then there were obviously concerns, with him having another back surgery and showing, looking a little bit overweight because he couldn't work out. And he's an athlete who's used to burning X amount of calories each day. So, of course, he's going to gain some weight. So, anyways, he was able to get back in shape and he really clearly showed out. And so what's next is keeping, what I just said is consistency, is keeping it up. So Malik Watson is a guy that I think that he can, continue to keep this going, and he should be keeping it going, because I don't think that this guy is like some elite tackle, and I think they were trying to find a way to replace him. And so we'll see exactly how that all shapes out, and I think to add into this a little bit, there is talk that Ron Leary is currently in the concussion protocol for Denver because he got a concussion during the game, and if he doesn't play the game, then they're going to likely have to replace him with, I think it's Billy Turner, who's the backup. But the point is that if you've got a guy, Watson is average as he is. Having a guy like Leary inside of him probably helps him out a lot. I think that when you replace that, no matter how much of a drop down it is in talent, and I imagine the drop from Leary to Billy Turner is pretty precipitous, but I think that there's a familiarity factor there, and considering how well it looks like Lawrence and Malik Collins are working on stunts and games together, that could be really a huge place of attack for the Cowboys, in an area where they may find some good work on that defensive left side. So that's something to definitely to watch out for. All right, second level defenders and versus backs and tight ends. I had Zeke Elliott versus linebacker Brandon Marshall. What are the odds of playing Brandon Marshall 1 week and then the next week, huh? So Dallas shouldn't have issues handling defense. Denver's defensive front in the run game. You know, look, that this kid Gotsis had quite a game for himself, and I think that, you know, there's a likelihood that they could get Crick or Kerr back. So there may be a little bit better health, but probably not that much more health along that Denver defensive line. But I really do think that no matter what, like, I just don't know that they have the talent there. And by the defensive line, I mean their front three, not including the you know, the outside linebackers where there is talent. I think that what that's going to end up meaning is that the run game is kind of going to be played out on the second level between, you know, the elite running back and the elite linebacker. I'm looking for Zeke to cut it a little bit more loose this game. I mean, I think, you know, the Giants are a much better run defense than Denver is. I think that, you know, Dallas has a lot of experience in running against a 3-4 at this point than I think they had previously. And I think it's probably going to end up helping some of these guys. I think really, like, a guy like Chaz Green really might thrive because, you know, he's going to be able to use his athleticism and get up to the second level pretty easily. He's going to be uncovered. I don't think Pico is going to be a guy that Frederick is going to have a problem with one-on-one. You know, over his nose, like maybe some of the more elite nose tackles. So I just feel like this is really an opportunity for that interior of that offensive line to kind of take care of their business and then let Zeke, you know, he talked about it in the offseason, wanting to become more and more dominant on the second level. And I think this is an opportunity to kind of prove that. He's going to get some opportunities to get there kind of clean. And Brandon Marshall is a very, very good linebacker. And so if Zeke can figure out a way to win his, you know, battles in the hole with Brandon Marshall, I expect big things for him. And I expect a big day for Zeke Elliott in general, whether it's running or passing. I think both. He will have a big day because I think he's going to be instrumental in both. I think, you know, in the passing game, he's going to be a huge outlet guy, especially if they're going to be coming after Dak heavily. And in the run game, obviously he's the focus. So I just expect a big game for Zeke and really one of the only people that could probably slow him down if, you know, or who will be charged with trying to slow him down is Brandon Marshall. On the other side of the ball, I think that CJ Anderson is one of those guys who, you know, you kind of forget, like you forget that he is a good runner. You know the name, and you know that he's it's like you see the name, you recognize him, you've seen him, you've watched him run before, and you've had, you know, a high opinion of him before, but then you just forget that he's on the team, you know. And so I watching the game on Sunday night, there was definitely times when I was like, oh man, I forgot how much I like CJ and what a good running back he is. So I really do think that it's important that the Cowboys, and to be clear up front, Anderson is definitely not going to be the only guy who touches the ball. They'll definitely be giving it to Jamal Charles, who I'm sure all of you know as well. You know, he clearly showed that he might have a little bit left in the tank. So, you know, it basically seems to me that that they're going to try to, you know, run the ball to kind of, you know, make Simeon's life a lot easier because, you know, they must know as much as we didn't know that Simeon's not taking the promised land by himself. As good as the weapons are on the outside, and we'll discuss that later, as good as they are on the outside, they need stability in their ability to you know, move balls, which will help them continue to, you know, move the chains, and then that will help them get down the field. I think that if the Cowboys can find a way to and my matchup for CJ Anderson was Jalen Smith. If Jalen can continue to improve, you know, I think Sunday was the best he's looked. And I think that if that's the case, like, he's just going to keep getting better. This is going to be a big game for him, because if they find a way to shut down the run game, I think it's really, really, really going to be tough sledding for Denver, because I just don't know that Trevor Siemian is the type of quarterback who, on his own, especially playing from behind, can, you know, attack and outscore Dallas's offense the way that, even playing against a good Denver defense. I just don't know that Trevor Siemian's going to win a shootout like that. So I think if the Cowboys can do it, they should really focus on kind of just making them one-dimensional, and then I think putting it all on Trevor Siemian's definitely going to, you know, make things easier. Otherwise, you know, if they really get start running well, they start moving the ball on the ground on us, then, you know, they're gonna play our game against us, and they have, and by that I mean, you know, they'll start killing the clock, they'll get efficient and score, they'll push. See, what happens is if they can get a run game and then they start scoring effectively, then we could really be in trouble, because then that forces the Cowboys to have to play from behind, which means a ton of passing, which means, you know, Von Miller getting exactly what he wants, an opportunity to pin his ear back, go after the quarterback. Cowboys can't allow that to happen. And the only way that they can stop him is to make sure that the Siemian is the one who they are relying on for all their offense. Okay, last and certainly not least, third-level defenders versus quarterbacks and wide receivers. I think an interesting matchup inside on the Cowboys side of the ball is the Cole Beasley-Chris Harris matchup. Chris Harris is their, you know, probably their CB2. Very, very good cornerback. Very, very good corner for a number two corner. But he also kicks inside and covers in the slot from time to time. And I think you have to feel like that's probably what's going to happen with Cole Beasley, because he is really one of the main threats the Cowboys have. And when you talk about going back to how Denver's going to want to attack us, Cole Beasley is a get open early in the route type of receiver, and those are extremely valuable in counteracting the, you know, blitz, the rush, however they're trying to attack the quarterback. So look for Chris Harris to try to take Cole Beasley out of the game in order to eliminate Dak's blanket. And then, you know, I think with Denver, likely what they'll do is they'll try to put Talib one-on-one with Dez, maybe with some help from a safety sometimes, but mostly I would, if I was them, I'd you know, try to just bracket Witten and Beasley and then just come after Dak relentlessly and see if, you know, what are the chances that my rush can get to you, Dak, before Dak can get to Dez. It'll be interesting to see how that works out, but a big, big, huge part of that game plan will rely on Cole Beasley being not available, and if that means Chris Harris by himself, that allows one more man to free up to double Dez, and if it doesn't, otherwise they may have to double Beasley and Witten in order to take away Dak's hot abilities, especially when the Broncos come after him. Finally, the last pairing, Chidobe Awuzie versus Emmanuel Sanders. It was quite impressive. I mean, I think it was, you know, one of the underrated storylines was Awuzie coming in, basically playing the whole game because Scandrick got hurt in the first quarter. And he did great. I mean, he didn't have to do much. I mean, they didn't throw a ton at him, and when they did, he was ready and looked fine. So it'll be a little bit more, I feel like, this week. They're going to, you know, make an effort to come after him, probably because he's a rookie. So look for Emmanuel Sanders, and I'm assuming that Demaryius Thomas will end up over there a little bit. Will he continue to look comfy? What kind of coverages are they going to mix up? I think that the Cowboys will probably continue to do more of this mixing up coverages to try to confuse Siemian, and hopefully that will lead to more sacks and INTs and confusion. I just, you know, he's not an elite quarterback who's just going to do it on his own. I think if the Cowboys throw a bunch of stuff at him, they throw him some of the Deacon defense stuff, I think eventually it'll break him. I think the Cowboys will be able to control him well enough that they can limit him. And then we'll see if the Cowboys can score enough points on the offensive side of the ball to really make him one-dimensional, and that should probably do him right in. So, guys, make sure you're checking out Van Rack Sports throughout the week for all kinds of matchup information, and make sure you follow me on Twitter, at McCoolBTB. And until next week, go Cowboys, and happy trails.